Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Tuesday night here, May 14th, and I'm here to talk about NXT. And let me tell you, we got quite a few items to hit up on for today. We had a couple of surprises. Of course, we're moving forward with the Women's NXT North American Championship Tournament, trying to figure out who's going to be filling up those spots in the ladder match that's taking place at Battleground. And we also had the return of Gallus here tonight, as well as a tease for Wendy Choo's return. So we have a couple of items to talk about in regards to NXT. Now, there were some things here that I loved on today's show. There were some things that I'm willing to let them play out. And there's some other things that I'm just like completely over with. So it's a little bit of a mix of how I'm feeling about today's episode of NXT. I didn't necessarily love it. I thought that there's been way stronger episodes. I'm not loving the direction in which Trick Williams's current run as NXT champion is going on NXT. As a matter of fact, I feel like we rarely even see the guy. We saw him really quickly here today, and that was just about it. So there are some things that I would love to see tweaked and altered, but I think the overall arching thing about all of this is that it feels pretty limited in terms of the people, the possible opponents that you had for Trick Williams. And we've discussed this quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, but we're going to get into all of that and more here today. But of course, before we get started, I want to go ahead and give a couple of shout outs. First and foremost, thank you so much to Michael, who gifted 5 DWO memberships here to the channel. Thank you so very much, Michael. And also Sheldon Jackson gifting 5 DWO memberships here today. So 10 memberships just went out. Thank you so much to both of you for doing that. Of course, if you want to get your questions, your comments, your statements read here on the stream, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point, and I will make sure to read all of those here on the broadcast. But let's go ahead and dive right in. So I want to kick things off first and foremost with the Heritage Cup, because I want to get it out of the way. So most of you already know how I feel about the Heritage Cup. It's not really my thing. I don't love the match type. I don't care for the Heritage Cup either. A lot of it has to do with how it's been presented on NXT. Now, I wasn't a big watcher of NXT UK, so I completely missed out on all of that. And I feel like that's part of the reason why I don't care for the Heritage Cup as much as some other people do, because I know a lot of people do. I get a lot of comments of people saying, Denise, give the Heritage Cup a chance, please, Denise. But I'm like, nah, hard pass, guys. I give it a chance each and every single week. With that being said, I could not be more happier that Tony D is the brand new Heritage Cup champion. And now you're probably going, what the hell, Denise? You just said you didn't care about the Heritage Cup, and now you're happy that Tony D is the Heritage Cup champion. Please explain. Well, I'm about to explain that. And the reason why I'm happy that Tony D is the Heritage Cup winner is because he has personality. Tony D comes with more of a personality. Like, the guy is a character. The guy, he may not be like, you know, one of the top very best pro wrestlers, but he at least comes with some substance. He brings something when he brings the whole the whole family, the little skits that he has in the back. He comes with a little bit of some pizzazz, you know? And so for that reason, Tony D winning the Heritage Cup for me is actually a breath of fresh air, because I didn't think that the No Quarter Catch Crew had nothing. Like, they gave us nothing to talk about. There was no personality, no charisma. There was not anything that made you formulate a bond with the group on TV. Like, I didn't care for them in any sort of way because they weren't showing any personality. And so for me, that completely disconnected me from the No Quarter Catch Crew. And that was one of the complaints that I had. And then prior to that, who held the Heritage Cup for the longest time? You had Noam Dar of The Metaphor. And well, I wasn't a big fan of that either, because it just came off as a little bit too cheesy, a little bit too corny for me. And so for that reason, I am ready to see an act that I have at least this garnered my attention on the show. And that person is Tony D with the family. And I think for a long time now, you know, Tony D's been on NXT now for a while. He had that great program with Santos Escobar. He went on to do a bunch of other stuff. And it almost feels like he's not going, well, I can't say he's not going to be NXT champion, but he's not a person that I would say people are screaming to become NXT champion. Like, there's always somebody above him. Before, it was Carmelo Hayes. It was Ilya Dragunov. Then it became Trick Williams. There's always somebody you want to see become NXT champion more than Tony D. But at the same time, you knew Tony D was meant for something on the show. You just didn't really know what. So I'm not seeing him as NXT champion right now. It's just not, doesn't seem like it's happening, at least not in the short future. And then also NXT North American Championship is in a totally different direction right now. They're doing a totally different thing. So, you know, you have Tony D who's coming out here and saying he's going to be the Don of NXT and that he's going to do all of these things. And you're like, well, what is he going to do? It's not like he's going to win any of those titles. So what does he get? Where does he go from here? Well, my friends, that's where the Heritage Cup comes in. So I actually see this as a huge pro, somebody I'm interested on the show to get to be the Heritage Cup champion. And I hope that it kind of turns things around a little bit, makes it a little bit more, I want the family to be the way that they are, to be, for example, today they got fined $20,000 for the whole referee stunt that they pulled last week. While I was not a fan of the referee stunt, and I'm so glad that Ava actually said something about it today. I was not a fan of it, but she called them out, and that was my complaint last week. My complaint last week was that it made NXT look pretty silly. It made it look silly that the GM, that nobody said anything, and they just let the match happen with them replacing the referee, and I wasn't a fan of that, but I'm glad that they said something about it today, and then they were fined. But the thing is that Tony D and the family, because they're always getting rid of people and they're always doing things their way, they're either get rid of people, make them swim with the fishes, or they kidnap them. If you don't watch NXT, you're probably saying, what the hell are you talking about? But they do all of these things that only Tony D and the family can get away with. Like, they are the only ones that I would let them slide when it comes to this. And so there is comedy within that. And so for that reason, all I got to say is, yes, I am happy Tony D is Heritage Cup champion. But we got some super chats in here. Let's see what the people are saying. This is from Retro Mint Man, who says, heard you don't like oranges. Unfortunately, it's the only fruit I have. Here you go. Wait, I know somewhere out there. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I do not like oranges. So I know this is totally random, and I forgot where I said this. I might have said this on Twitter or on a podcast somewhere, wherever I said this. But I don't like oranges because I don't like the smell. And I had a really bad experience at Universal Studios where So I don't know how many of you guys have been to Universal Studios, but there's a ride. Which one is it? It's the Kung Fu Panda. Yes, it's not really a ride, actually. It's more so of a, it's like a theater experience. But before you get into the actual theater where you're seated and everything's cool, they lump up everybody in one single room and you literally have to stand there all crowded and everybody bunches up because everybody wants to get good seats. And so everybody's like so close to you. And I remember this woman was chowing down on some oranges. Now, keep in mind, we are in a confined space. There's a bunch of people. It's hot, body heat. And this woman has a bag of oranges and she's like eating them. She's licking her fingers. She's doing everything. And the smell, it was right next to me. You all know oranges have a very heavy smell. And so she really kind of grossed me out with the oranges. And so after that, I was like, I hate oranges. I hate them. I can't have them because I think of that really bad experience. I hate the smell. But then I ended up taking one of those food intolerance tests. And then turns out that apparently I have a food intolerance to oranges. So I don't know if it was something that I developed. I don't know how it happened, but I actually think that woman ended up sort of saving me because oranges are apparently not good for me. So her stinking up the place with the oranges ended up saving me. So there you go. Retro Mint Mance, thank you so much for the super chat and sorry for going off tangent. We got Steven Marchuli here who says, so Ruka has the it quality. She stands out. Lexus King's beard is crazy. I've been talking about Lexus King's beard for like the very first time we saw it because I looked at it and I was like, what is that? I've never seen anything like that. It's hilarious. And now, you know, and now it's a part of who he is. It sort of adds to the persona of Lexus King, where he's this, you know, he's this cocky fella and he's got that one thing that irks you, and that one thing that irks you is that beard. So there you have it. We got Sheldon Jackson here who says, how Denise feels about the Heritage Cup is almost comparable to how I feel about JC Jane. The adjectives are similar. All right, then. You know what? We've had this discussion plenty of times, but yeah, there are just some things that they just don't stick. They just don't stick. And for me, it's the Heritage Cup. But you know what? There's a chance that Tony D might turn it all around. So let's see if that eventually ends up happening. But that's where we're at. I know everybody's bringing up Orange Cassidy. I do like Orange Cassidy a whole lot. He does not smell like oranges, which makes me very happy. All right, so let's talk about how NXT ended, because that was one of the big topics coming off of the show. And so this is what we had. I have to kind of rewind a little bit to explain what's going on here. So first and foremost, Wesley, Obafemi, Josh Briggs, Ivar. We need to start there. So Wesley goes out there, he cuts his promo, and basically the gist of it is he talks about how he was supposed to be out for a year. As we all know, the last time we saw him doing a promo in the middle of the NXT ring, he was heartbroken, he was crying. It was a very, very sad topic to be discussing. And he was, you know, gone. He couldn't feel his legs. He was gone. He had back surgery and he was supposed to be gone for a year. Nobody was expecting him when he came back 2 weeks ago on NXT. And so Wesley returns in 6 months. And that's basically what he talks about in this promo. So nothing new, no new information, but we just get to hear it directly from Wesley. And he's talking about the passion that he has for NXT, for wanting the NXT North American Championship, because he's made it very clear that that's what he wants. He's a former champion, and well, he wants it again. But he is interrupted by Obafemi. Now, Obafemi, it's funny because Obafemi is an interesting fella. He has such a deep, deep voice, and at first it went from like, oh, we rarely ever hear Obafemi talk, to all of a sudden we're hearing Obafemi talk quite a bit more, and he's getting better at the promos. Again, his delivery is very different. It almost doesn't come across as, it doesn't come across as conversational. Like, Obafemi does not sound like just a friend talking to another friend. Like, no, he comes across as a little bit more robotic, but it works for him. It sort of works for him because he's sort of mysterious. You know, he's this big man who just comes out and he just kicks people's asses. Like, that's what Obafemi does. And he's this big, you know, beefy dude. And so I kind of like, even though it's a little different, I kind of like that he comes out and he sounds very, very robotic. But in a way, you also don't want him to sound so heavily scripted, because when you listen to Obafemi talk, when you listen to him cut promos, like, you know that all of those things were written for him. because that's the way that it comes across. But regardless, it kind of works for Obafemi versus it wouldn't work for a lot of other people, because nothing's worse than being able to tell that somebody is heavily scripted. You want people to come across as conversational. But whatever, it's a little different for Obafemi, but that was what I was thinking about during this. So of course, Obafemi, he comes out, he cuts a couple of good lines, he's getting better, and he's interrupted by Ivar. Now, Ivar, on the other hand, he went from like, of course, people I think here all always liked Ivar, and nobody ever had a problem with Ivar in terms of skill, right? When it comes to skill, Ivar has always been, I would say, liked by the majority of people because he's always been good. But the Viking Raiders character was really what was causing the sort of, I don't even want to say downfall, but if there was any disconnection between you and Ivar, it was most likely due to the Viking Raiders character because of the way that they were presented. I had said this a long time ago on one of my SmackDown post shows, that they were presented very Disney-esque. And so you don't want to watch these cartoon characters, right? Like, we're way past those days. We want to watch people that are more real, more authentic, none of this cartoon stuff. And the Viking Raiders, unfortunately, for the longest time, were being presented in that light. Of course, it was a different era. We still had Vince McMahon and all of that. So anyways, unfortunately, due to injury, eventually Ivar ends up on his own, loses his partner, but he's made the very best of it. And he's been having killer matches. We know that. But now he's been over on NXT. But what we've been seeing on NXT has really been working for Ivar, because all of a sudden, he still's got the big beard and the long hair. Fine. No big deal. Whatever. We still know he's a Viking underneath it all, but now he comes out in regular freaking clothes. The man is out there in a t-shirt with a vest, sweatpants, and boots, and a little hat. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, this is the perfect airport outfit. If you travel a lot, this is the look that you got to have for the airport, guys. It's fashionable, but it's comfortable. I really like Ivar's look, guys. I might copy it. That might be my airport look, all right? Because dude looks comfortable. But the point is that he looks a little bit more relatable, a little bit more real. Like, if I saw Ivar at the store, that is what I would picture him wearing at the store. Like, I feel like that fits his personality a little bit more. And, you know, of course, the Viking stuff is still going to be there, but regardless, he just comes across as a little bit differently. And we're hearing him talk more. Again, none of this cartoonish stuff. He's just coming out and he's talking like a regular guy, and that's it. And he talks about the surgery that he had, the back surgery that he had, and said that he and Wesley actually had the same doctor, and even gave a shout out to the doctor. I thought that was pretty funny. And then, of course, he's interrupted by Josh Briggs. And Josh Briggs goes out there, and I will hand it to Josh Briggs. He went from somebody where, like, I really wasn't too sure how I felt about him on NXT. And again, he's not a new act on the show. He's been on NXT now for quite some time. But even then, I kind of went back and forth with how I felt about Josh Briggs. I thought he came across as too, he didn't really stand out any differently from, like, some of the other guys. Like, you could have easily blended so many people together, and Josh Briggs was one of them. And recently, and that turning point for him was really the breakup between Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. Remember when I couldn't even freaking say their names? I was like, whatever, one of them is Josh Briggs and one of them is Brooks Jensen. And now that they're separate, it's like, all right, this is who you are. This is what you're doing. And that moment that he had, that triple threat at the last PLE that they did for NXT, that was also the turning point for Josh Briggs, where suddenly I'm looking at him and I'm going, yeah, I want to keep seeing you. I want to keep seeing what you've got in there. And so now you had all these four guys, including your champion. And Wesley is basically saying, dude, do a fatal four-way match. But Obafemi is actually taking the coward's way out. And this is what I was not a fan of. I was not a fan of Obafemi being presented as a cowardly heel. because that goes against like everything we've been seeing from Obafemi. Obafemi, if you guys recall, the matches that he's had since he's became NXT North American champion have all been him brutally beating people up and not giving a damn about any of the people that he's like killing them there. That's the presentation of Obafemi that I want to keep seeing. I don't want to see Obafemi the cowardly heel. And so instead, he exits the ring, by the way, and so that he wouldn't have to make this announcement in the ring with all the three other guys. Instead, he exits the ring first and then says that they can take care of this amongst themselves and they can fight. And whoever wins their triple threat match is going to become the new number one contender and will face Obafemi for the title at Battleground. Now, part of me really wanted to see the fatal four-way match. I almost still hope that it happens, but I doubt it since they already made the match for next week. And next week, it's a triple threat. Ivar, Josh, and Wes will all be in the match. And again, whoever wins will face Obafemi. Now, I'm looking at this, and if it's the one person, it has to be Wesley, because I'm like, dude, Wesley just came back. You don't want to have Wesley come back and just lose right away. But at the same time, I know if they do Wesley versus Obafemi, Obafemi's winning that thing. So again, I just think it would have been a better story overall if they would have just done the fatal four-way. And I know some people are probably thinking, well, you don't want to blow your load and get all three competitors, out of the way so fast. Like, you can do so much more and you can have more of these matches, right? But I wouldn't mind seeing them do the fatal four-way and then have Obafemi retain. I wouldn't mind him afterwards doing these singles matches on NXT television with those guys. Like, I'm totally cool with that. And so either way, that's where we're at with that particular picture of things. But wait, there's more, because this is the ending portion of it. So fast forward to the end of NXT, and suddenly we are seeing Wesley, Josh Briggs, and Ivar. It was those three guys. Those three guys are on the floor, taken out, beaten up by somebody. And earlier in the night, Noam Dar had been attacked by somebody, but I think Noam Dar did it himself. I think he's faking it, but whatever. Point is, these guys are attacked afterwards. And all of a sudden, we see the reemergence of Gallus. So Gallus is back, ladies and gents. And they are the ones that attacked them and basically left them there on the floor, writhing in pain. So now, it's always exciting when you haven't seen somebody in a while and they come back. Everybody has the, ooh, yeah, Gallus is back. Oh, I am going to give this an honest chance, because the way that they came across with the beatdown and the reveal, they looked pretty cool. Not even gonna lie, they looked pretty cool. They looked cool, they looked excited to be there. I felt like it looked just a little bit different than the Gallus we had been seeing several months ago. So Gallus, I believe the last time we saw them on NXT television was like back in February, which for some reason is not that long ago. It's only a couple months ago, but it feels like a year ago. It feels like this was a year ago that we last saw them. And they weren't doing anything really on NXT. There was nothing that was really shaking things up. It wasn't anything that was exciting on the show. And so part of me is like, oh yeah, Gallus is back. More guys, woo. But then the other part of me is like, well, I really wasn't a big fan of Gallus to begin with. So I feel like that is a little bit of my issue, where I'm like, yeah, I like Gallus, sure, whatever. But, and I'm willing to give this a chance, but it's not like I was the biggest fan before this. But happy they're back and happy that they're adding this story. How this is all going to work out, I have no earthly idea, because again, the guys that they took out were the guys that were going for that NXT North American Championship. So I don't know what this whole program is going to look like, or if they were just planning on sending a message out over to the NXT roster, because that's looking like what they were trying to do, was send a message that they might be looking like they want to, take matters into their own hands. They want to be the ones running things on NXT from the looks of it. So again, I'm going to give this a chance, but I wasn't that big of a fan before. So I'm going to give this a chance though. All right. We'll see. All right. Let's see what people are saying here in these super chats. And this is from David Kaplan. Thank you so much to David, who says, I love Sol Ruka. She's so talented, but her moves are so high risk. I'm always nervous she's going to hurt herself again. What do you think of her? So I'm going to actually put a pin on this, David, and I'm going to return to your super chat in just a second because I do want to spend some time on that. We got Sheldon Jackson here who says, kind of glad to see Gallus back on NXT after getting Rock ready for Mania. Thank you for reminding me that. I was about to mention that they were part of the team that got the Rock ready ahead of WrestleMania because he was also preparing for a tag team match. So clearly working with a tag team was definitely something that you might want to do. But anyways, so Sheldon also says, it's time for Joe Coffey to win NXT gold since he's the only member of Gallus to not win gold yet, whether it be NXT UK or NXT. Thank you so much for pointing that out. I appreciate Sheldon. All right, guys. I want to go ahead and get into the women's NXT North American Championship tournament that they are doing. But before we get to that, we got a word here from our sponsors, Blue Chew. Are you jobbing now in bed? Do you have dreams of main eventing in the sack? Well, have no fear. Blue Chew is here to help you become the champ. Soon you'll make your baby face comeback and get the finish. Blue Chew is the place to go for chewable versions of sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil. These ingredients help men achieve stronger, yeah, harder, yeah, and longer lasting erections for sexual activity. Woo! The chewable tablets help fight off all forms of ED, which can include performance anxiety and maintaining an erection long enough for sex. A Blue Chew subscription includes a free online consultation, 24/7 medical support, a prescription for chewable sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil, if approved, and discreet delivery straight to your door every month, all from the comfort of your own home at affordable prices. No more in-person doctor visits, no more waiting for appointments, and best of all, no more awkwardness. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to the description box of this video and click on the link and make sure to use the promo code Denise. What is up? All right, everyone, we are back. And I just realized, what is up following a Blue Chew read? Well, what is up? I'm not finishing that sentence. Oh, man, guys. Oh, all right. We got Richard Biggs here, by the way, who's been a member of the DWO for 4 months now, says, love the channel. Thank you so much, Richard. I appreciate your support. And thank you so much for being a member here of the channel. All right. So let's get into the women's stuff. So I want to circle back to what David Kaplan had just sent in on his super chat here. And it was in regards to Sol Ruka and how I thought about her, considering that she is, you know, performing some high risk maneuvers, as they would say. Well, here's the thing. I love Sol Ruka. Like, I am such a fan of hers. I am so excited for her. She's, you just know, like, there are certain wrestlers, and speaking right now specifically for the women, there are certain women that you just know are going to be big stars, right? We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen with Tiffany Stratton. She's moving on to bigger and better things. We've seen it happen, with Roxanne Perez. The second she came in, everybody pretty much predicted everything that would happen that she would go on to do. Lyra Valkyra instantly was like, I love her. She's great. Look at her now. She's on the main roster. So there are certain people that you just know that they just have it. And Sol Ruka is definitely one of them. And since she came back from her injury where she tore her ACL, she came back and, I mean, she looked better than ever in terms of just the way that she looked, in terms of the way she was moving. She was still, I mean, the only if you just started watching NXT, you would never know that she had this injury. The only reason you would know is because she wears the knee brace. So the knee brace is the thing that gives it away, but her performance is still on point. She's still killing it in the ring. And so Ruka does do these things that, of course, because she has this very athletic background. She did gymnastics and God knows how many other things she did. But she goes out there, and I don't think that she's going to hurt herself in that sense. Like, I know she tore her ACL. It's unfortunate. It happens, though, especially with ACLs. They just be like freak accidents sometimes. Like, you can literally step wrong and it's like done, right? So I do not mind her style. Now, I know there was a moment in this particular matchup that we got with her and Izzy Dame where there was one little moment where I think she she just missed a step, or I don't know what happened, but she did kind of, you know, lean forward. You can tell that wasn't the intended, spot that was supposed to happen. Like, that's not the way it was supposed to go down. And she did have a moment where she like limped down, but she got right back up and she went in there and she finished off this match. So hopefully that was just a quick little moment that she lost her balance or whatever, but hopefully it's not anything more. And again, it just looked like a quick thing. But then again, sometimes those quick things be costing people. But regardless, this match with Izzy Dame and Sol Ruka, this was a qualifier. And you knew going into this, Sol Ruka was winning. I mean, God, come on, guys. She's my pick, man. She's my pick to win this entire thing. And so she goes in there with Sol Ruka, Izzy. And I got to tell you, like, before this, there are certain girls on NXT that sometimes, because we don't really know them too well, because we've seen them sporadically on the show, or we see them on some episodes and we don't see them on some episodes, sometimes they start to blend. They start to almost all look the same, like the ones that you don't really know. And it's funny, actually, because I had a friend who follows me on Twitter because they're a wrestling fan, but they don't watch NXT at all. But they see my tweets, and one of the things that they said to me was like, Denise, who are these people that you're tweeting about? And I'm like, what do you mean, who are these people? And they're like, the girls on NXT, they're like, they all look the same. And I was like, no, they don't. They don't look the same. What are you talking about? I'm like, they're so different. And started pointing out some of the girls on the show. And I'm like, oh, this is this person. I started explaining who everybody was. But then on today's show, I started to think about it. And I think that conversation was in the back of my mind, because I started to think about how there were some girls that I'm like, you know what? Because when you don't really know them, they do sort of start to look alike, especially if you don't really know them that well. And so Izzy Dame, I mean, God, I couldn't tell the difference between her and Carmen a long time ago, and who knows who else. But there were some girls, again, that I could not tell apart because we didn't see them that often to get familiar with them. So with that being said, it kind of took away from my I didn't have a quick reaction to them. With that being said, speaking specifically right now for Izzy Dame, I thought she went in there in this match today, and this was the first time that I can honestly say that I am sold now on Izzy Dame, and I want to see more. She looked so confident in this matchup here. She went in there and she just took her moment. She just took her opportunity. She had a good performance. Sol Ruka and her, I thought, did fine. There was a moment where Sol Ruka did get busted open when they did that table spot, and she was like bleeding from her elbow, I think. And but they carried through with the match. Of course, Sol Ruka, she hits her Soul Snatcher, always looks really good, and she gets the win. But today was the day that I became an Izzy Dame fan, because again, she stood out to me here today. And so all that to say that I'm happy Sol Ruka got this win. But the other match that we had for the women's qualifier was Ivy Nile and Lash Legend. Now, this was also, my prediction was Lash Legend would be one of the people to take part in this ladder match, because Lash Legend is another one that she came in and it kind of took them a second. It took them a second to do something with her, but they slowly started to do more and more with her to the point now where you're like, oh yeah, Lash Legend, I know her. She's no longer just blends in the roster. Now she's her own person on the show. And this match was fun too. Ivy Nile went in there. She hit a bulldog off the top rope on Lash Legend. I love this. And I love how the size difference too, because Lash Legend, she's a tall girl. And so eventually there's these distractions from Jakara. And because of that, Lash Legend ends up getting the win. She gets her with this big giant boot to the face, sends Ivy Nile in a whole other dimension. But because Ivy Nile is a main roster talent, I think that's why they wanted to have her sort of lose via distraction. But again, they haven't done too much with Ivy Nile on the main roster. So if Lash Legend would have beaten her clean, I don't really think it would have been that big of a deal. I don't even think people that don't watch NXT would even know that Ivy Nile, a main roster talent, lost to Lash Legend over on NXT. But it's fine. I get them wanting to protect her again because she is a main roster talent. But this was good. And so far right now, I'm pulling up my predictions here because I screenshotted them. So I posted this video on Instagram, by the way, which I've been posting so many videos if you guys want to go check them out. But these were my predictions for who I was expecting to be in this ladder match that's going to be happening at Battleground. And so far, I'm good with Soruka and I'm good with Lash Legend. Those were two of my predictions. However, my other four predictions are now in question marks because the other ones that I had was Thea Hale, Jada Parker, Meechan, and Fallon Henley. So you're probably thinking, Denise, you got a problem. Yes, I do have a problem because next week, and keep in mind I did these because we don't know, we're literally finding out every week who's even facing who in these qualifier matches. Like, we don't even know who's facing who until they tell us. And so they revealed that next week, we're going to be seeing Jada Parker versus Brynley Reese, and we're going to be seeing Thea Hale versus Fallon Henley. So there's my problem. Thea Hale and Fallon Henley, in my opinion, should both be in this match. I don't want to keep seeing Thea Hale get excluded out of these big moments because she's sort of not been part of these big matches for the women on NXT. And she's grown so much. She's done so well. But yet she's always excluded. Like, she wasn't part of the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge. She was doing something else. But still, what I'm saying is she's always excluded from these things. And I think that now is the perfect time for her to be part of this ladder match. But then, here's the thing. You can't have Fallon Henley lose. Fallon Henley just turned heel. And did they even have her on the show today? I don't even think they had her on the show today that I remember right now. I'm blanking. But regardless, you cannot not have Fallon Henley in this match. So now I'm looking at it and I'm going, damn, it's got to be Fallon Henley, which means I'm expecting now Thea Hale to lose. I don't know. I feel like this one's really a toss-up. It really is a toss-up. Like, I love that this match between Thea and Fallon is not only does it have stakes because one of them will end up in the match, but I do love that, of course, they have the beef with one another. So I get that. I get why they're in this match together. But damn, these were two girls that I wanted to see in the actual ladder match. So I don't know who's going to take that spot now. I don't know. I'm looking at this now and I'm thinking that maybe I'll probably say maybe Kalani Jordan. No, wait, is Kalani Jordan out already? Or is it Ren Sinclair? I don't know. Kalani Jordan, Tatum Paxley, Ren Sinclair. Those are some options there. But damn. No, Kalani Jordan's not out. Yeah, sorry guys. I was blanking there for a second. But that's where we're at with the NXT Women's Tournament. And then there was also, speaking of Tatum Paxley, she was like stalking Ava on today's episode of NXT. But that's where we're at right now with all of this. Let's get some thoughts here. We got Steven Marchulli here who says Carmen Petrovic's moveset plus entrance screams star. She has been very impressive as well. She started to, when was it? I think it was that match that she had with Shayna where I started to look at her a lot differently. But she's been coming in. She's been looking good. David Kaplan says, how long did it take for you to film that ad? It's like a weird fever dream. Did you have fun with it? I love that you have more subs than SRS. Oh, guys, come on now. SRS is my friend. But in terms of filming the ad, I don't know, like an hour. Probably took like an hour. And what took the longest was just trying to find I'm not trying to find men's clothes because I had men's clothes. But what was it? What was it that took too long? It was just like little stupid stuff that I was trying to do and just trying to get it all the way that I had it visualized in my head. That was really what probably took the longest, but overall I had a good time with it. So David, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate it, man. All right. So let's see what we got here. We got a lot of people that are saying, by the way, that Fallon is going to win for sure. Oh, we got Ahmed here who believes that Ridge is going to cost Thea. So Ridge Holland, by the way, has all of a sudden been sort of chummy with Chase U. And God, this could not be the worst. This is like, whatever. Whatever. I'm not going to get into that right now. But Riley and Ridge have a match and Riley sort of gets thrown in and they make him Ridge's tag team partner against Gallows and Anderson, who are apparently still on NXT. Anyways. So Riley has sort of been apprehensive towards Ridge. He does not seem to trust him. I think he's right. I don't think he should trust him. And Thea Hale has been looking very, very trusting. She's like very happy. She's Thea Hale, so she's going to be that way. But if Ridge were to cost Thea this match, I mean, I don't know. And like in terms of like a distraction by accident or however, God, she's got so much drama and everybody turns on her. Especially all the women turn on Thea. I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know how this is going to play out. Maybe JC Jane will return because she's got her broken nose, but I don't know how long she'll be gone for.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Maybe her bestie, Jasmine Nix, will get some revenge on her behalf. I don't know. But there could be a scenario where somebody cost Thea Hale this match against Fallon Henley. But then again, I kind of want to see Fallon Henley just do her thing. So Fallon Henley now is starting to move up that ladder. She was my second pick for winning the Women's NXT North American Championship, but my first pick was Sol. My second was Fallon. So we'll see where they go from that. All righty. And let's see where else we need to get into. So sticking with the women, let's get into the Wendy Chu tease. So this was really, really quick. Coming back from a commercial break, it was still a black screen and you just heard someone snoring and an alarm. And at first I was like, what the hell is that? But it was once I heard the alarm that it dawned on me, oh, sleepy. Who's sleepy? Who's always sleeping? Who comes out in their pajamas and their bunny slippers? Well, my friends, that is Wendy Chu. So Wendy Chu is looking like she's finally going to be returning, and I could not be happier for her because the last time we saw her, she was feuding with Tiffany Stratton, and God, that feels like 20 years ago. And they were having – it was good. It was good. I was fairly entertained, and I like Wendy Chu. I know that her character may – at first glance, you look at the Wendy Chu character and you're like, what the is going on NXT? Literally. But then when she gets in the ring, she's very good. She's very entertaining. And the character just becomes lovable. So at first glance, if you haven't seen Wendy Chu, if you haven't seen her do her thing, at first glance, you might be put off by it for a bit. But once you get used to her doing the Wendy Chu cutesy thing, it all of a sudden becomes lovable and you enjoy it. And so I can't wait to see Wendy Chu come back. I think she's fun. I think Wendy Chu is fun. There's not much else to add, guys. It was a really, really quick tease. That's where we're at with that. We got people saying that Wendy Chu is a dope character. I agree. Plus, she always looks like she shops at Claire's. Now, some of you are probably like, what the F is Claire Denise? Well, if you have a little sister, maybe even a girlfriend. Girlfriend's still, older girls still walk. Maybe not Claire's, Icing. They shop at Icing's. Older girls shop at Icing. Actually, I think Icing closed. They still have one at my mall. So for me, it's still open. Icing is, or I think it's a Claire's now. I think they merged. Actually, now that I think about it, I think they merged Claire's and Icing. You know what? You know who was at freaking Claire's? I remember watching Being the Elite and the Young Bucks, one of the Bucks, Matt or Nick, forget which one, got his ear pierced at Claire's. So there you go. Now everybody knows about Claire's. All right. So that's where Wendy Chu looks like she shops, by the way. That was the whole point. That's why I got into this whole discussion in the first place. But anyway, so I think that's it with the women. Oh, no. There's one more thing that we need to get into for the women, and that is Carly Bright versus Lola Vice. So Carly Bright had her NXT debut. This was my first time watching her. When she popped up on the screen, I was like, who is that? Who is that? I have no idea who that is. I'm like, which blonde girl is this now? I don't know. Maybe I'd, you know what I would suggest? And I think it would be really, really cute if Carly Bright did the Taylor Swift lover inspired hair. Now, I don't know how many of you guys here know about how Taylor Swift looked on Lover. But the second I saw Carly, I instantly thought of Taylor Swift in the cover of Lover. So as most of you guys know, this is the Lover album right here. And she's got the colored hair tips on the bottom, the all blonde hair, of course, and the colored tips on the bottom. I feel like Carly should do something like that to kind of make her stand out a little bit from some of the other girls, because all the other, like Carmen, Izzy, I lost track of how many blondes we have. Sol Ruka. I feel like you got to change things up with your hair just so that you can stand out a little bit, and so that people won't, they just think it look a little different, have your own flavor. And I think that's part of the reason why so many of these other girls stand out. Like Lyra instantly stood out, Roxanne, Lola, they just looked and a little bit different. And your look, as you know, is going to go a long way in presenting you as a star. So I felt like that was something that, it was just something that I thought of while I was watching Carly. Plus, she's so freaking cute, by the way. She just reminds me of the Disney Channel. Carly Bright looks like she'd be a Disney Channel star, and I love that. I could not be more obsessed about that. And so instantly, I just started thinking of all these ideas. But anyways, this was my first time watching her. This was her NXT debut. Her highlights from Level Up, they looked pretty cool. Apparently, she's a cheerleader from Minnesota. She's very, very petite, but she went in there and she was good. She was fine. She showed out, but of course, this was Lola's Vice's match to win, and Lola Vice was the aggressor in this match. So you saw some cool moments from Carly, but Lola Vice, she gets her win with a spinning back fist that she got Lola. I'm sorry, that she got Carly with, and so that was that. Good job, Carly. And then Natty and Carmen come out because Lola was still attacking Carly after the match. So Natty and Carmen come out and they basically end up making this tag team match between them and Shayna and Lola. And that's going to be happening next week. So that's where we're at on that whole vibe. Yes, by the way, Kevin is right here. He says Carly's got that girl next door look to her. Yes, the girl next door that watches the Disney Channel. That's exactly Carly's look. I love it. I love it. So, anyways, that's where we're at with all of that. Let me see what else we needed to talk about. There's only two more things to get into that we haven't discussed in regards to NXT. But before I get to those, just a friendly reminder, guys, tomorrow I'm back on Wednesday with Righteous Reg to talk AEW Dynamite. Friday, I'm here with Robin to talk about SmackDown. And I'm not here this weekend, actually, because May 18th, this Saturday, is my birthday. And so I got a busy freaking day on Saturday. It's kind of a crazy day. I'm waking up doing Busted Open for 3 hours. Then instantly I have exactly 40 minutes to get ready, hair and makeup, 40 minutes exactly, which is not a lot of time. and I have to leave to Ontario, and I'm going to be at Comic-Con Revolution, and I'm going to be hosting two panels back-to-back. One is with Trish Stratus and Lita, and the other one is with your former AEW World Champion, Samoa Joe. So I'm going to be doing those two panels, and then immediately after that, I'm going to be driving back from Ontario, and it's a little bit of a drive, and I'm going to be having a big taco fiesta. My entire family is coming over to my grandparents' house, and because it's also my grandpa's birthday, we share the same birthday, and so we are going to have a taquero. It's going to be a whole thing, and so I'll try to vlog it or something because it's kind of a crazy day. I'm really stressed out about it, but, and I'm planning the whole party myself too on top of that. So there's just a lot happening. So Saturday, I won't be here to talk about Collision, but I think I have a good reason. I have a good reason to miss this week, guys. Anyway, so that's what's going on. Let's see. Idris and Malik versus OTM. This really wasn't too much of a anything to really talk about in regards to this. OTM gets the win. The only thing that I was thinking about, though, is that I think that Brinley Reese is coming across a whole lot like Thea Hale, sort of like a Thea Hale 2.0. And I'm not sure if that's what it's supposed to be. I don't know, or maybe she's just taking inspiration from Thea Hale. But again, I think it's one of those things where you just want to stand out and maybe be a little bit different. You know, have your own vibe and whatnot. It just reminds me a lot of Thea Hale on that regard. But again, she's new. She's finding herself. So it's all right. They'll figure it out. But anyways, Idris and Malik, I'm sad that they always just keep taking the L every single time. They're such a good tag team. And every single week, I want to vouch for them because I think they're such a good tag team. OTM is just there for me right now. So, there really wasn't much else for me to say about this. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about, which is the last thing, which is Oro Mensa versus Javon Evans. This was a fun match, guys. And I started to think to myself, is, you know, we don't really, so Oro Mensa is part of Metaphor. And he's sort of, again, been in the shadows in Metaphor. He really hasn't, that I recall, had very many singles matches since joining Metaphor. And sporadically, he's had a few. But I feel like, I don't know if it was this combination of him and Javon Evans or what, but I really did feel like Oro Mensa was better than I recall him being. And again, maybe it's because I haven't seen him in a while. Maybe it's because we had a little bit of the attention on him. Maybe it's because he was in there with Javon Evans, who's very, very fun to watch because he's very, you know, he's a high flyer. He's does some really fun things. Like even the way that he does the springboard cutter, like it just freaking looks cool. So I don't know what it was here, but Oro Mensa definitely stood out to me. And this was a fun matchup. Javon Evans continues to grow on the show. He's a very, very young guy. And he even gets the friendly rub from Trick Williams afterwards, because during this match, we basically saw Lash Legend was about to cheat and help out Oro Mensa and hit Javon Evans with a chair. But Trick William Wonka comes out and basically gives her the look. And she's like, ooh, my man's here. So I can't do this now. And so she decides not to. And at the end of the match, we end up seeing Trick Williams go in there and basically like raise up the hand of Javon Evans. And so that was cool. But again, guys, like, Trick Williams right now, he was really getting one of the biggest reactions on the show as NXT champion. And it really bums me out that he was like, I don't know, someone do the math. He was like less than 1% of the show was Trick Williams. And that kind of sucks. So I really have been bummed out about the follow-up with Trick Williams as NXT champion. So I hope that they spice that up a whole lot, because the Lash Legend stuff, yeah, it's cute. It's cute. It's romantic. I'm into that type of stuff, the rom-com stuff. I'm digging it, but it's not enough. Like, he needs to have a serious feud. He needs to have something that makes him a stronger NXT champion. And right now, it's just not there. The follow-up has not been good. And so I hope that that gets interesting fast. I hope it gets good fast, because I don't want to be on here rarely talking about the NXT champion. So that's where I'm at. But anyways, that was NXT. We got one more super chat to read. And this is Chloe Adams, who says, Team Mia now because poor Ivy lost. Good shout out there. And yeah, Ivy, I was not expecting to see Ivy win this. I was definitely expecting Lash Legend to get the win for sure, because, you know, she's an NXT gal and, you know, they're building her up as a strong, powerful gal. And yeah, so I was not expecting her to lose whatsoever. All righty. Thank you so much to Chloe Adams. And I think that's about it. We are done with NXT here today. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for coming in and hanging out and chatting NXT with me each and every single week. Before I head out, I have a brand new video here on the channel that's totally different from anything that I've done before. But since it's been a little bit of a slow month with, you know, Double or Nothing's not till the end of the month. There's no WWE pay-per-views that I was going to. I'm not going to King and Queen of the Ring. Like, that's not happening. So it's a little bit of a slow month for me. So I'm trying to find different video topics to cover. And so I did this video with Santi Zap where we both swap AEW wrestlers to WWE and WWE to AEW. It's very fun. If you guys want to go check it out, please do give the video some love. And yeah, check out some of the content that I've been posting. Again, it's been a little bit of a slow month, but I'm hoping to get things rolling pretty soon and get some more content out there. So give some love to the content that is out there. But other than that, I will see you guys back here tomorrow for AEW Dynamite Conversation. Bye, everyone.
This Black Music Month, State Farm wants to take a moment to recognize the undeniable cultural influence of Black musicians, composers, singers, and songwriters. From folk music to rock and roll, jazz, and more, Black culture has shaped almost every genre of music that exists today. Join State Farm in celebrating this month and beyond. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
I was hours into a hunt for new digs at the local shopping mall and losing steam fast when fate intervened.
Drumsticks, get your drumsticks!
Nutty, sweet drumstick? What luck!
One drumstick, please.
Here you go.
This is hot and made of chicken.
I want an ice-cold, creamy, crunchy drumstick sundae cone.
You and me both, buddy. But that's the vendor next door.
Drumsticks.
But that line is 3 miles long.
Oh, well. Another day, another drumstick.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.